plans.
He did. He got frisked. And his words, up the crack and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
He got pulled out, had to get all searched. I mean, they felt up in there because that's where the glowy was. That's where the, that's where the, it was lighting up.
So, I got a new nickname for you, Tim.
So, I mean, normally a man might be impressed with himself if he could light up the thing like that.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Get us in, lady. Do you know what? You know, it's almost the big episode, but not quite.
It is. So welcome everyone to Designer Cornbread Podcast, episode 199. 199.
We sound like a Walmart special.
Yeah, we are a Walmart special.
Maybe we are.
The Magic Mart. Do you remember back in the day? I don't know if y'all had these up north, but back in the 70s, there was Magic Mart.
I think we did have some. I feel like I've heard that.
Yeah, that was before Walmart. It was Magic Mart.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe I just saw it down there. We had Venture. Did y'all have Ventures?
I didn't have Ventures.
Okay. We had Venture and then Target before Target became like the Target that we know now. It was more
Target.
Now it's Target. It used to be just plain old Target.
Target. Yes.
Oh, so how was your weekend? Get us caught up. Anything exciting? Did you just chill?
No, I had a lot going on.
Okay. This weekend,
actually. And I can talk about, I'll talk about something later. But anyway, so I don't even remember Friday.
Friday. We don't know about Friday.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Saturday, John Garrett is bringing home a crew for Labor Day weekend.
Oh,
and so I am, you know, the upstairs was perfectly clean until John Garrett came home from camp. And now the Tasmanian devil has been through and whatever ghost are living up here. I don't know. So I've been Saturday morning. I got up and worked upstairs a little bit, made sure all the beds were changed and all of that. And then I went and I laid in the pool for a little bit. And then we had a murder mystery dinner theater at our church.
I love it. I love a church that embraces true crime. I feel that that's good.
Yes. Yes. So, no, we have our women's ministry does a lot for the community. And I mean, they even support, like, our women's group gives like $50 to every teacher that goes to our church, but they do these baskets that they take up to the hospital and they fill them with like diapers and wipes and, you know, baby shampoo and like a spaghetti meal. I mean, like spaghetti in a jar, spaghetti sauce,
nice.
You know, stuff that an easy supper that these mamas can take for when they go home from the hospital. And so, and just little different things they do. Bereavement meals, they take food to the homeless. Yeah, our women's ministry does a lot. Well, we used to raise funds by doing bazaars. Did y'all ever have bazaars up
no
there?
I mean, no. Yeah, some places do. Yeah, they for sure still have bazaars.
So in the South, I mean, a bazaar is a big deal, especially like in the country churches, which all of it was at some point. You know, it was just a country church. Well, bazaars did great.
Tell people what they are, because some people may not really know.
So a bazaar is really where you go and you can buy a lot of homemade stuff. You know, whether it's quilts, blankets, pictures, jellies, jams, all this stuff. They have a meal usually.
It's really actually amazing. Like, I wish we did them more because But now to craft stuff is so expensive. I don't know how you.
Well, and that thing. So here's the deal. And that was back when, you know, they were huge, especially when women didn't work. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're this big, you know, two-income society.
Sure,
now,
sure. Yeah.
Nobody has time to quilt. And I mean, the women's groups used to get together and they would make Christmas ornaments together. They would quilt together.
Well, they can, like you did that recipe the other day that you could do your, you know, big recipe and take that to the bazaar. And
right, right. And they would do all these things. Well, now there's just not much homemade stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the arts are the crafts are a dying thing.
Which, as a side note, is part of the reason, like, all the county fairs and state fairs, like, they're so cool. If you get a chance to go to one, like, it'll take you back. And there's newer categories now and stuff, you know, too. But, like, those categories of that craftsmanship and that, like you said, just the homemade, there'd be crochet and there'd be wreath making and there'd be the canned and the vegetables. It's very cool. So anyway, carry on.
So last year we did not do the bazaar. So we had to come up with a different fundraising thing. And they came up with this murder mystery dinner theater.
Okay, gotcha.
And, you know, just people in our church did it. I mean, it was just, it was funny. They did a good job to not be, you know, professional actors.
Yeah, they had fun. It was like a night out. It was like entertainment.
Right. And a couple of the men grilled pork chops and they had baked potatoes and green beans. And, you know, it was a all hands on deck kind of effort.
Fun.
And, yeah, they probably, I don't know. Of course, we've got a small area, but I think they probably raised about $4,000 or $5,000.
That's good.
Yeah. So
I feel like that's really good.
Yeah. And again, all of it goes back out to the community and to the, you know, to people who need it. And then after that, now I had a choice to make. I either could go to a wedding reception or to micro wrestling.
And Joni, you made the wrong choice because I know where you went and you made the wrong choice.
Well, I decided.
I forgot all about that.
I decided I needed to show up to the wedding. We had to miss the wedding because we'd already committed to the, you know, the church thing. But I said, well, you know, we'll get back. We'll try to get back for the reception. And we did. So we, you know, made our rounds of beautiful. The reception, they've got a house on the river and it was just
pretty
beautiful. The sun was setting down over the river. And
but that doesn't beat the micro wrestling. I'm very disappointed. I forgot all about that.
I know. I missed the I'll have to find where micro wrestling is going to be. But somebody, another teacher went and took a video. She took a video of the whole thing. And so it was fine. But the crowd, I mean, there were so many people there. So I am not the only one interested
in
micro wrestling.
I would think there would be quite a few that would be interested in that.
Yes. I was looking forward. I had my leotard bedazzled and I was going to jump right in.
She was ready to go.
I
think some year we're going to have to go, Jones. I'm going to have to come down and we're just going to have to go to that because I feel like the people need to know.
Yeah, I don't know that it'll be an annual thing, but maybe.
I feel like you guys have had it before, though. I feel like it's come there before.
No, we've never had micro wrestling.
Really? Well, never. I feel like you told me about that.
Well, I've been talking about it for a long time.
I know. Okay.
You were really excited.
She was so excited.
Really excited.
Her people were coming.
My people.
Oh, honey. Well, I'm sorry you had to miss that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's okay.
That's life.
I survived. I survived.
You did. Did I tell you the story? I can't remember. Did I tell you about Thatcher cooking beans? Did I tell that little story?
No, you have not told that story.
Okay.
No.
It's just tiny. It's just a little small thing that a conversation the other day when we were all down in Chattanooga moving Avery and Joey into their house and whatnot. And I'm sitting in the other room in the little cute dining room and they're in the living room. And I don't know what they were talking about, but all of a sudden I hear Thatcher pipe up and go, "Hey," he's like, "Yeah, mom, I did those beans. I soaked those beans like you told me to, and they were terrible." And I said, did you cook them after that? Dead silent. Was I supposed to?
Well, yeah.
Yes, you idiot. He just soaked the beans.
Yeah.
I told him, I guess, a while back, because he'd said something about, I don't even know how it came up. Maybe he'd just seen, you know, he's like, yeah, what about the dried beans at the store, you know?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to, what do you do with those? How do you do those? And so I told him, I said, well, you just have to soak them the night before or whatever, so they get soft before you cook, you know, whatever. It never occurred to me that he wouldn't cook them after. And he said he tasted them, he soaked them, and they weren't good. And so he let them soak another day.
Oh, no.
Tried to eat them again.
There's another step there, buddy.
And they were bad. Oh, God, you guys, it don't matter how old they get. There's always something. Oh. And he loves to cook. He's a very good cook, actually. All my kids, everyone's very good. But it was just so funny, just because, you know. And he said, well, I didn't know cans come in, or beans come in cans. They're not supposed to.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so.
That is said by a camper who probably just opened the can of beans up and ate it cold out on the trail.
Absolutely. Right, like, why would you ever, right, the dried bean, you know, he always sees them at the store. And if you think about it, you really don't. And it's so economical. I mean, you know, I don't cook with them, but very much anymore. I used to back in the day. But, you know, you just don't think about it. I'm like, they just come out of a can. I'm like, well, honey. Avery's like, even I knew that, Thatch. He's like, thanks a lot. It was just so funny because he piped up out of nowhere. We're like, yeah, hey, Mom, I tried to do those beans like you told me, and they were terrible. I'm like,
don't you love the sibling though?
I do. I love it.
I knew that. You know,
I mean, I knew that. You dumb dumb.
You dumb dumb. I mean, John Garrett and Caleb, you know, you big C. I just loved it.
It's too much. It's too much. It makes me laugh so hard. So that was that. Then the other story, I've had a lot of Tim stories lately. I think this is several weeks in a row, but I didn't tell you about him in the TSA, did I? The airport,
where he left his driver's license.
Oh no! That was okay. One story. No, yeah. this is recent. This is last week. No, so I wouldn't have told you. So he went a few weeks back and got the TSA pre-check that you can get. We've been meaning to do it, the both of us for forever, but he finally went and got his done because he's flying about every week, about 3 weeks. Three times out of the month, he's flying now. So he's like, I'm going to get that done. That's save me time. You can go to the pre-check line, get through faster, get through security, blah, blah, blah. And so he went and did that. And then he went and he had his first flight. And he's like, I'm going to use my pre-check. I'm special now. You know, I'm better than all you little schleps over there. So I'm going to go over to the pre-check line. Now, granted, it was early in the morning. So he's like, it really wasn't crowded. But he's like, still, I'm going to go do it and see what I'm supposed to do. So he goes over there, gets in the little line, gets up, does whatever. And then the thing about the pre-check is that you can go through just the regular scanner. You don't have to do the naked body, arms up scanner. You guys know what I mean. You can just go through like the regular old one. So that's faster, right? So he goes through it and he beeps. He sets these things off all the time. Well, come to find out. So he takes off. So he has to take off his belt and he has to take off all his stuff and da 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 da. He goes back through and he still beeps. And the guy's like, do you have any metal in your body? And he's like, well, yeah, I have a hip. I have an artificial hip, which I didn't even know that was metal. I guess I assumed it was like, I don't know. I guess I didn't know. But I feel like he's gone through things before that then it doesn't set it up. So I don't know. And the guy's like, oh, you're going to have to always, it'll always set it off. You're going to have to always do the hands up body scan thing. Yep. So he's like, oh, crap. He's like, well, that sucks. I'm back halfway to what the schlebs have to do over there. So he goes through that and does that. So then on his way back, just this week, he did it again. You know, he flew down and then he flew back. And he said, when he got home, he said, well, I'm 0-for-2 with the pre-check. And I said, well, what happened this time? And he said, well, I get in the line. Again, it's early in the morning, so it's not real busy. There's some people in front of me, but I get in there and I know not to go through the regular scanner because I know I'm going to set it off. So I'm just going to go straight to, so that saved me time. I'll go straight to the body scan thing. And so he gets in there and he does that and they take the picture of him and they're like, it's like, you've got like a hot spot down in your private, in your, you've got something glowing down in your nethers. So
he got touched by old gorilla hands.
He did. He got frisked, and his words, up the crack and everything.
Oh my gosh.
That he got pulled out, had to get all searched. I mean, they felt up in there because that's where the glowy was. That's where the, that's where the, it was lighting up.
So, I got a new nickname for you, Tim.
So, I mean, normally a man might be impressed with himself if he could light up the thing like that. But he was so annoyed because he's like, now I went through the scanner and now this happened and he had to get pulled. Meanwhile, they had left his luggage. His luggage had already gone through his carry-on and his computer and everything had gone through the conveyor belt. And they called him over to do the search. And this nice guy who was behind him, this kind of business guy or whatever, kind of looked at him and was like, I'll watch your, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's over here getting strip searched and hands up the parts.
Oh, my gosh. Damn.
So he was, he's been very underwhelmed by his pre-check experience. He's not real happy with it so far. I died laughing. I was like, oh, my gosh.
You know, I do. Every time I go through, I'm the one that they check. And I don't know why.
I get my bag checked fairly. Yeah,
because I get, you got a bag and a bag and a bag and a bag.
Listen, no, I told you the time I got it checked when we were going to wherever, I think it was DC, and they pulled me out and they checked the bag because there was something in it they weren't familiar with, and it was a book. It was because I had a real book in my bag, and they're like, well, these new ones aren't really trained. I'm like, didn't other people not fly with a book? Am I the only idiot in this whole airport that actually put a real book in her bag? I was like, a book? That's the most, what are you talking about? So, yeah, I do tend, I did get pulled aside the other day for a random. They were like, it's just our random. She even said, she's like, this is our random. Nothing you did, you know. We just have to randomly check every once in a while. And I'm like, good Lord.
Jim's got a hot spot.
He had a hot spot, y'all, and they had to check it.
I've got so many comments that I cannot say on this podcast right now.
And that's half of why.
I cannot wait to tell Ron Shay.
Yep, yep. That's half of what I wanted to tell you on here, so you'd have to hold it in. It was a lot. He was not happy with his pre-check experience thus far, but you know, I think it'll get better, especially when it's busy. It will make a big difference. So,
all right, okay.
Anyway,
golly, I want to say so many things.
I know, but let's move on to a more serious. If you'll notice the shirt I have on today.
I do. I've eyeballed that.
I've got my my Dolly and Reba 2024 shirt on in honor, of course, of the passing of the Queen of Country.
So since our last podcast, Dolly Parton's passed away. And Tennessee is rocked. I think
Tennessee
the home
is
base.
Not okay. Nobody's okay, but y'all, I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah, we are. You know, and Ron said, we got nothing left. He said, Johnny's gone. Elvis is gone. Dolly's gone. I mean, it's, anyway. No.
You still have the party buses in Nashville, the bachelorette parties. You still have that going for you. So
anyway, I really have not had much time to sit down and listen to a lot of Dolly stuff. And I'm kind of trying not to, I think. You know, like if I just put her, just keep her somewhere in Franklin, she's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's more like, it's just weird, you know, and whatever. I mean, it's not like I was the biggest Dolly fan in the world, but I sure loved her as everyone else did, you know, and I loved a lot of her music, but it's just more like that idea of she's always been around. Like, there's always been Dolly. We don't have no world that there's not been Dolly Parton. What are you talking about? Like our whole growing up, you know, she's just been a fixture. Whether you watched her, like we weren't a country music house growing up. Like we didn't listen to her. It wasn't part of our deal until I got older. But still, she was always around.
So I have my Dolly story. Can I tell my Dolly story?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So when I was a little girl, and I have no idea, y'all, how old I was, like 4 or 5 years old. I don't know. But I was so tiny even then. I mean, when I was 4 or 5 years old, I looked like, you know, 2 or something.
I was going to say, you probably looked like 2 or 3. Yeah, you were probably tiny.
Well, I know when I was 5, because a woman in my church makes fun of me. Her daughter was my age, and at kindergarten graduation, I was standing up there in a Feltman Brothers dress. Do you know what Feltman Brothers are?
No, I don't.
They were like the smocked dresses.
Oh, okay.
Or, I mean, like for toddlers.
Okay.
I'm at kindergarten graduation.
Your toddler dress.
My Feltman Brothers dress.
Listen, it still fit.
Yes, it fit. So, but I was so teeny. So my grandfather and my dad were both pharmacists, and we would go to the pharmaceutical conventions, which I always called the drug conventions.
As you would. Yep. What'd you do? So, well, my daddy took me to a drug convention.
We went to the drug convention, and but they would be held in the 4 major cities in Tennessee. So 1 year it would be in Memphis at the Peabody. 1 year it would be in Chattanooga at the Choo Choo. 1 year it would be in Knoxville. I can't remember where it was in Knoxville, but in Nashville it was at the Opryland Hotel.
Oh, fancy!
And it would just alternate.
Yeah, just so everyone had a chance to get there. Yeah.
So this year it was at the Opryland Hotel, and my sister Streety and her friend Kim. We were all down in the ballroom. They would have big dances and big. It was nice. It was great stuff, but they wanted to go up to the room to get something, and so I went with them. Well, then they didn't want to come back. Well, I wanted to come back down, so right. I left and came back down.
Just walked through the hotel like a regular person.
Like it was the 70s, things were different.
It was. Nobody cared. Literally, that was normal.
That was normal.
Totally normal.
So, yeah, totally.
And you had no cell phone to call. They couldn't even like call down to your dad and grandpa and say, hey, she's heading down.
Nothing. You just went. And So the elevator doors are open. Now, keep in mind, I had no idea who these people were, except for one of them. The elevator doors opened. I got on, and in there was Minnie Pearl, Jerry Glower, and Dolly Parton. Now, Dolly at this point was not as big as Dolly now.
As she got, you know, sure. No, but still recognizable.
Recognizable.
Yes.
I would say Minnie Pearl and Jerry Glower probably at that point were bigger than she was.
Yes, yeah. Now,
so I recognized Minnie Pearl because she had on her hat with the price tag mm-hmm. hanging down. Mm-hmm. So I recognized Minnie Pearl from Hee Haw.
Of course.
And
Hee Haw.
Hee Haw. And Jerry Glower, I didn't know. But anyway, and Dolly was there. Well, Minnie Pearl was very concerned that I was by myself. And,
right, because
you know,
even if she knew you were 5, that would be of concern, but I did not look five. No, yeah.
I did not. I was tee tiny.
Yes.
And so she's very concerned that my parents aren't with me. And mm-hmm. I mean, she flipped right into grandmother mode, you know, and where are you going? Where are your parents? Where this, that? And I told them they were down in the ballroom and I was going back to the ballroom. And, well, Minnie Pearl picked me up and she was going to take me to the ballroom. And, we got off the elevator and people all of a sudden, you know, kind of started coming around them. And Dolly at that point looked at Minnie Pearl and said, here, I'll take her. Y'all go on. I'll meet you outside. And so Dolly Parton, here I am on Dolly's hip and she is carrying me to the lobby of this. And there are people all out in the, you know, the ballroom lobby and all that. And she said, asked me, she said, honey, do you see your mom and daddy? And I said, no, ma'am, but there's my granddaddy. Y'all, I have no idea who is carrying me. I have no idea.
I'm sure you didn't.
What is going on? But I will tell you right now that I will never forget the look on my granddaddy's face when Dolly Parton comes strolling through the lobby carrying me on her.
Oh, gosh.
Ever. And then people are around and, you know, some people want pictures and stuff. And I remember my granddaddy saying, I'm going first. She's got my granddaughter.
Okay. That sounds exactly like your granddaddy. Yes. Me first. That's my granddaughter.
And there was a photographer for the drug convention and she took a picture. I have no idea where it is.
Oh, I'm going to have to research that. Surely there's some archive, you know, like a newspaper or something.
It wasn't a newspaper. It was just they would take pictures. It was
right for the convention.
Fox. Made by Fox was the photographer or the paper or something. I don't know. Okay. I remember all the pictures had Fox on the back of them.
I bet you those are up in your mama in the top of that store.
Look, no, they would be in her. Our secretary is where all the pictures and stuff.
Well, we're going to have to search.
I've looked and I can't find it.
All right. So. Well, we're going to have to go on a hunt next time I come down.
My grandmother may have taken care of that picture with his round, you know, big bosomed woman.
She may have just tossed that blonde hussy in the trash can.
That's right. So I have experience with Dolly from way back.
You do.
I will say, she's been one of my favorites. And I will tell you, when you're short, blonde-headed, and big-boobed, it's a very easy to portray Dolly.
Yeah, it's a role model. Yeah, it's a role model for you.
So I dressed up like Dolly at camp, and I would sing Dolly songs. And,
you know, she would. She would do Dolly at camp. She would get her little Western wear on and do little lip sync Dolly songs. And it was a hoot. That's how I first remember you. In fact, the first picture I have of you, I was trying to find it. Did I show that to you before? I can't find where it is. I put it up here. I thought, here's one. This is one of you doing it right now. This is one, but later.
Yes.
That's from in the 90s. Uh-huh. But I have the very first picture that I ever took. I thought I put it up in this collection.
From like middle school. And I remember.
Yeah. And you had shorter hair.
So big, yeah. And that shirt was so big and it was so wadded up. It looked like I'm pregnant.
And you put balloons in your, because you were big for you, but you like accentuated it. And you had like a radio on your, I don't know. I thought I brought that up here. I don't know where it is.
It was a yellow radio, a little cassette player. And I would play Dolly's music.
That's supposed to be up
the
here.
First song that I ever sang in front of anybody by myself was a Dolly song.
Oh, what'd you sing?
It's called Me and Little Andy.
Oh.
You know that song?
I don't.
It's sad. It's sad.
Of course, there's tons of her stuff I've never heard just because, again, she has a lot. You know, there's so much. And we weren't country music at all. So I didn't get into that till college. And then by then she was, you know, it's even after that that I'm like, oh yeah, Dolly, you know what I mean? Like, because it was kind of an older singer or whatever, but I've been listening to a bunch of hers and like so many, I mean, she's just done so much. I listened to one the other day, a song called Traveling Man, and it's all about she's singing this song. And I was going to meet up with my traveling man. And my mama told me, don't meet with that traveling man. And it's all about this young girl who meets this traveling salesman who comes to town and comes to their house. And she likes him. But the mama's like, don't you mess with him. And so she has to lie. She's got to keep it secret. And then she tells her mama she's got to go to the well and I ought to get you some water. And she goes, but she didn't know I was going to meet my traveling man. And she gets down there, and lo and behold, mama ran off with my traveling man. Her mama runs off with the traveling salesman. And she's like, just like my daddy did long ago, I don't even know you. And I'm like, this is great. Like, what? I didn't expect that.
I will tell you, I think one of the reasons that everybody loves Dolly is Dolly is so real.
Real.
And she can laugh at herself. You know, where I read one thing, you know, whether this is true or not, who knows? But, you know, but she wrote, I mean, it was one of her books and she wrote and she talked about, of course, she talks about the poverty that they grew up in all the time. She said, we would all share a bed and it would be so cold. A lot of nights we'd just pee on each other to keep warm.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, look. No.
I don't know if that's really true or not.
Surely not.
But, you know, if that was somebody, I mean, a lot of people would try to hide, you know, where they came from.
Yeah.
They would try to hide a lot of that. And Dolly wasn't. And even her her Backwoods Barbie song, we've talked about.
Love it.
Where she would hide and look at the Fredericks of Hollywood catalog.
The Fredericks of Hollywood catalog. And that was her idea of glamorous.
Of fancy. Yeah, that was glamorous. And so you look at that and you go, that's why Dolly's kind of the way she is. You know, when she was young, she was up in Appalachia. If you don't know what Fredericks of Hollywood is,
don't look it up.
don't. It is, it was a lingerie catalog.
Before Victoria's Secret.
And
their pictures were very, it's Victoria's Secret, but there's less of a secret. There's no secret.
And honestly would have probably, my mother would have never gotten one, but.
No, I don't even know where I ever saw them, probably at friends' houses, because we certainly didn't either.
Right. Yeah. It probably would have come in the mail wrapped in a brown paper, you know.
Yes. It was just, you could see a lot. You could see a lot.
And see a lot. Yeah.
Yes. And you're right. So that
if we went back and looked at it today, we probably wouldn't think anything about it.
Well, we probably wouldn't. But back then,
it was it was scandalous.
It really was. And like trashy.
Yeah.
Like to us. But, you know, like that's what she talks about. Like
they were highly made up and they were.
Right. Beautiful. You know, beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And very fancy, like long sheer with the feather trim, all kinds of situations going on.
All kinds. I mean, it explains, and Dolly sings about it in her Backwoods Barbie.
She sure does. And that's what's so funny, you saying that, because I was thinking that the other day. I'm like, it's so ironic how for someone who, how do I say it? But like her exterior is so artificial. And she, again, 100% owns that. That's not, being ugly. Yeah. She's artificial. Everything, the boobs, the hair, the eyelashes, the nails, the makeup, the whole thing, the outside is extremely artificial, but she was one of the most authentic and real people that anyone ever met. They just everyone says she was just, and the verse in the song that talks about in Backwoods Barbie, it says, what is it? Like, don't judge a book by its cover, because where it counts, I'm real.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's true. For as much artificialness as there was, she was very authentic.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. Which is wild.
And very embraced what mattered. You know, I think she had a good grasp on, you know, rocking chairs on the front porch, those relationships, what, you know, the building of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a very good grasp on what mattered. And I'll tell you this, I don't know, you know, if you know this, but in Tennessee, she started Imagination Library.
Yes.
And every baby born in Tennessee would get a new book in the mail every month.
Mm-hmm.
Until they turned 5.
Yep.
A new book. And she funded that for a long time. Finally, other people started getting on board and it became, you know, a whole big funded thing. But
yeah, Dolly, but that's her one of her big legacies.
Yes.
It's funny because Thatch was saying, he texted me, you had already texted me that she had passed, but then he texted our group shortly after that. Of course, he lives in Nashville. So, you know, news broke pretty quick. And it was funny. We got to talk last night about it a little bit. And he was like, you know, he's a 20 something year old, but he says, I'm not going to lie. He said, I teared up. He said, I think she was just one of the most loved people in the world. And for good reason. And I thought, that's crazy that a 20 something year old male,
yeah,
all the way up to meemaws.
Yeah. Somebody, I heard a commentator say, and I agree with it. They said she may be the last person on earth that everybody loves. Nobody yeah. disagrees with her. Nobody.
Well, I'm sure there are people that do, because I've even heard a few comments and people, and you're like, just be quiet.
Just go away. Just
so
go
she
away.
Supported one thing you didn't like, but yeah. calm down, you know. But the other thing, too, again, so rare. You know, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
No, I was just going to say real quickly that, like, you know, that was such a contrast to the world she lived in, was she was married to that same man.
Yes.
From, she was what, 18, 16? Yeah. She was young when they got 18, I think, when they got married. And she was married to the same man all this whole time. He just passed away a few years ago. He very private and all that. And I'm like, you don't see that? That is so rare in entertainment. And I never have known or heard, and I mean, I'm sure there's, I don't know, but there's never been a, there's never been any accusations of any infidelity. There's never been any negative, like drugs and alcohol and this and that and weird behavior, none of that. And for someone in entertainment, that is almost unheard of. I can't name another person.
No, I can't either.
And that's commendable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Dolly was certainly a champion for Tennessee and a champion for children. She just had the biggest heart of any, you know, and whether, you know, if there was anything she did that I disagreed with, I will say this, that Dolly did everything out of love, whether it was misguided or not.
She did. I agree with that.
It was out of, you know, her love for people.
It was never out of any, you know, she stayed out of politics. She clearly, up front interview, she's like, I'm not going to talk. I don't talk about that. I don't do that. I don't, but if she thought something was, you know, right and might help people, then that's what she did. And that's fine. And Tit Thatch was saying that he had heard somewhere that she's probably given away over $500 million.
Oh, I'm sure.
A billion with a B.
She has given no telling how much money to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital.
Oh, she's funded a ton of Vanderbilt stuff.
The Imagination Library. I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, that was a big funding thing. Mm-hmm. Just small things probably that we don't even know about.
There's actually a lot we don't know about. I was just hearing someone talk about that. They're like, who was her? I think somebody worked with her, but they were like, she would hear about something, you know, some flood in Australia or something that happened, and she would just get out her checkbook and write a check and she just was like, I don't need anybody to know. I just want to send this.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, what a blessing to be able to do that. Right. But even if you can do that, you know, just to have the heart to be willing to do that. And that comes from her background, I think too.
It does. You know, and I find when, you know, so many times, even when I'm working with fundraisers or I'm working with, you know, students who don't have anything, I will tell you right now, the people who give hand over fist are the poorer people.
Yep.
And I think it's because they know what that struggle is. They know what that's like.
Yep. It's either people that are poor or people that were.
They know what that's like. It's, you know,
absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. Did you see that UT is going to wear a Dolly sticker on their helmets this season?
I think Tennessee's struggling right now with how do we honor her? I mean, the whole state, because I mean, everybody's saying they want to name I-40 after her.
They are going to change the airport. They are going to do that, which that's good.
She didn't like to fly. They were like, she didn't even like to fly.
But her whole butterfly, like her whole of the butterfly motif, and let's just be honest, we need to change from BNA.
Yeah.
Needs to be changed to the Dolly Parton. So I think they are, I believe they are working on that, which would be lovely. And if they do it, It'll be the first airport in the country named after a woman. So there you go, Patriarchy 2026.
Yes. So she, I don't know, but she is definitely going to be missed.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, one of my favorite songs, I think just classic Dolly, was I Will Always Love You. Mm-hmm. And then years later, she's come up, and this is now my favorite Dolly song ever, is she and Kenny Rogers with You Can't Make Old Friends.
So
and
good.
So many people have not heard it. So
you guys go listen.
Go listen to it.
It's our favorite.
It is. It's.
And when Kenny passed and I was hearing that, because they had just recorded it.
Yes.
This was just a few years ago.
And she sang it at his funeral.
Yeah. And I just couldn't. I was like.
I don't know how you get through that. But they talk about, there's a video on YouTube of it, and they're talking about it. And, and they said, you know, they said we're soulmates.
They did. And the sweetest way.
They said, not romantically. We're not saying that.
They're like, not all soulmates are a romantic kind.
Yeah.
It's just a connection and a friendship and a working, you know, obviously it worked with them working and their voices. I love the video. I get chills just even thinking about it. The one they've been playing over and over again of when she comes in, he's doing live and he's doing the, what is it?
Islands in the Stream.
No, not Islands in the Stream. The one he sang with Sheena Easton. You need tomorrow. Both of us searching. And then Dolly comes in.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know. I want to find out. Did he know she was coming, or was he surprised, or was he just happy? Because like
he looked surprised.
He did, but he also might have just been so like nobody. The audience was surprised, and that could be really really fun. And she walks in from somewhere on the female part, and his little face—it's the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah,
that's like that is like he just heard her voice, and it was just like he was like here she is. And it was so precious.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
It was great. So I've clearly, as everyone else, I've let myself at least go down the deep rabbit hole of all most of the Dolly stuff this week, which has been fun. So, what else you got?
No, I'm just going to say one thing because it looks like we're coming to an end here.
No, we have a whole nother topic to talk about. We're not ending yet.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. What's your
topic? We didn't start till.
It was like 3:10. Go ahead.
Oh, was it? Oh, gosh. Okay. 3:10. okay. No, we have to talk.
Okay.
About college football drama.
It's starting up.
And it's starting up. And Joni, I don't know if you've been looking at you've been busy, but if you've been looking at the drama going on.
I have not seen the drama. You'll have to tell me. Tell me, Annali.
I'm about to go put someone over my knee and spank them.
Okay.
Several people. So I'm sure most, other people might have heard. But anyway, there's a whole brouhaha. I mean, it's actually a big brouhaha. This is actually a legal, like, there's lawsuits happening. There's a whole thing. Because apparently, and of course, who's in the middle of it?
LSU.
Lane Kiffin.
Kiffin, of course, yeah.
Which that ought to tell you enough. And I don't want to hear about it from the Ole Miss, but I'm sure you all are probably mad at him now too, but I'm just saying that man loves him some drama. He loves him some drama. It's just who he is. And I can appreciate throwing clipboards. I can appreciate, but the big controversy and legal battle right now is because, and I'm not going to get all the nuances, but basically, and there's other teams doing this as well, he wants to sign, there's professional players, Joni, you're going to have a coronary. There's professional players who were signed to contracts this last draft, they went into the draft, were signed to contracts with pro teams, who now, because it looks like if they don't get on the roster with that team, they want to come back and play college football. And they want to play for LSU. They want to play for Lane Kiffin.
Are there other teams too? Are they college students?
No, they were draft. They were in the draft. No.
Well, then they cannot play for the college.
Well, one would think, Joni.
That's what I'm saying. I don't.
One would think that. But here's the And the Big Ten, I believe, I know the SEC came out, the conference came out and said, made a statement and said, no, we're not allowing this. This is our rules. If you have a signed contract with an NFL team, you no longer can come back and play. They're like, it's not fair to the new players that, and it's not like the newer players that have come up and earned spots on these teams, you know, that's not fair to them, blah, blah, blah. But so now they're being sued. Hang on, let me fill you through the whole story. They're being sued. These players now are suing the conferences. Judges have gotten involved in Texas and in Louisiana, maybe other places. So judges that are unrelated to the came in and said, no, these men can play. They can play because of whatever. I don't know what their reasoning were, but they're like, no, they should be able to play. I think because what some of them are saying is that due to COVID, they had a fifth year of eligibility and they didn't use that. So go ahead, Joni. Give me your thoughts on that.
People, get over COVID. Get over COVID. That's one.
That's two, number one.
If you are not a student at a school, if you do not go to that school, then you should not be able to play for that
but
school.
But they can come to the school. That's not a problem. They could sign up and go to school.
Re-enroll. Uh-huh. Re-enroll. Drop the draft. Say you're never going to the NFL ever. Re-enroll. And if you are a student, okay, but you shouldn't. I don't know.
Here's what.
Because here's the deal. What about, you know, you do have like, you know, we've had baseball players who have been drafted or, you know, and or been made the offer and they said no, they were going to stay for another year. And so
Young men have been at camp. They've been training with the pro teams, so they're not going to get on the roster.
Yeah, then they need to.
And then they're going to decide after being there.
Once you drop, you can either do college or you can do the pro. And if you sign with the pro, you're staying pro. And if you delete pro, then you don't get to go back to the pros.
I don't care about that so much. Like if they want to redraft them,
but if you want to come back and play college ball, good. Yeah. But once you quit the pros, you're done.
Well, they could enter the draft again. I mean, they could always, that's within the rules. That's fine. You could enter the draft again. Fine.
I'm so tired of all the football. I'm tired of high school football right now. I am tired of the me. You know, part of it is when you start paying players. I mean, the conferences have created this.
Oh yeah, for sure, it's part of it. But here's part of the issue. Everything you said, I agree absolutely with. You know, everything you said. It just there, on top of the fundamental unfairness to other players, right? That have worked hard, made it on these elite college teams. Who now, you know, you've got somebody coming back, but here's the deal. I have a couple questions and maybe our official, the official ESPN, broadcaster of the Designer Cornbread podcast, Mr. Dave Neal could comment if he has more information. He doesn't know he's our official. So don't, he doesn't get paid anything from us. So, here's part of the issue. I believe three of the players, I know for sure two, maybe the third player that's, and there's other teams that this is happening to. LSU and Kiffin are in the news the biggest and being talked about the most, and it's SEC, so that's what I care about the most. But these players played, Joni, for Ole Miss under who?
Kiffin.
Under Lane Kiffin. And they're now saying, this is what I heard reported, the reason they think they have standing to come back is because they were unaware that they had a fifth year of eligibility. Now, whose job do you think it is to make sure that everyone understands their eligibility?
Kiffin.
The head coach. And now, so you're telling me that you went off to the draft, you didn't make it to the roster, whatever happened, happened. And now after going through camp, being out of school, all this stuff, magically now you realize you have a fifth year of eligibility and you're going to go back and play for the coach that didn't tell you and make sure that you understood you had a fifth year of eligibility?
So let me ask you this. What happens when you get out there on that field and you get hurt and then you can't go back to the draft?
They don't care because they can make money. You just hit it a minute ago. They can make more money through the NIL.
For that year.
Yeah, for that year, which they're happy to do because they're not on the roster of the pro team. So to them, it's a matter of, I get to go back. I get to play more. I get to make more money. They'll risk the possible injury because it's just a gamble they're willing. That's what they do anyway all the time.
I'm going to lose that money within 2 years.
I'm just saying, I don't understand the logic. I don't understand saying I didn't know about my fifth year of eligibility. Oh, and so someone on my coaching staff, whoever is advising me.
So you should sue Kiffin.
So I'm gonna go over here and play for the person in charge of the order that was in charge of when that happened to me. Why on God's green earth would you do that? Number one, that makes no sense. Number two, I heard Kiffin today, just before I got on here, he did a little press conference. And he said, because he's been real, like, he's been having all these press conferences and talking. And he's very much, he literally said, I don't think pro players, I don't think NFL signed players should be able to come back and play college. I mean, he literally said that. And then he's like, you know, here he's going to sign. He's like, but I'm going to sign these three players if the judge says we can, even though my conference, SEC, is like, in fact, they're putting severe penalties. The SEC's like, coach is going to miss half the games. They're going to pay a fine. Like, they're coming down. In fact, I just saw something that they're like, they're talking about LSU kicking them out of the conference. I mean, it's getting ugly. Yeah. And he says in this press conference today that he met with his conference, leadership conference of players, his leadership council of players on his team. And he met with them and he asked them, you know, hey, what do you guys want to do? You know, it's your team and what do you want to do? And they were all like, yeah, you know, if it's going to help us, you know, win, we'd love to have him back. And he said, this is what this man said. You know, they're like, if that's what, you know, the next level takes for the next level of football. And I went, the next level is the NFL. That is the next level. What are you talking about? If that's what it takes, if this is what it takes to get to the next level, there's no level between college elite football and the NFL. That is the next level. And then he says, you know, you can't, you know, if there's somebody that's going to help your business to do better, you know, in the company, you know, to do better, you know, business isn't going to not let an employee come and work there. That's going to make them better. That's not how it works in the real world. And I went, what are you, have you had too many hurricane beverages down there, Lane Kiffin? What are you talking about the real world? In the real world, you have to honor your contracts. And in the real world, you have to follow the rules of the business that you want to work for. And the business of the SEC football has told you you can't do that. So in the real world, that's actually how it works, Coach Kiffin. And you are not doing these young men any service by treating them this way. I'm hot. I'm fired up about it, Joni, and I'm sorry, but I needed to pull you in.
I'm pretty sports altogether.
She's shifting around in her chair, you guys.
Anyway.
It's one of the, you know, and again, we all see it, everybody sees it, but the fact that he stood there in front of the cameras and was like, I asked them what they wanted to do. And if we need to do this, if this is what the next level is, I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you actually talking about? There's no in between.
Mm-mm.
And don't tell me how the real world works, Mr. Biggest Financial Purse in the football
That's exactly
market.
Right.
In the real world, if you sign a non-compete clause, you know, which is very common, when you leave a company, you sign a not oftentimes, it depends if you get a package or whatever. It depends on how it is. But if something happens, sometimes they have you sign a non-compete, which means for a certain amount of time, you cannot go and work for a competitive company. You sign something like that. Guess what happens in the real world, Lane Kiffin? You don't get to work for the company. You don't get to come back and say, but I'm helpful for the company, and but I'll help you, and but I didn't know, but blah, blah, blah.
Well, maybe they'll kick them out of the conference.
Well, here's what I'm also fired up about. If this fool has gone down there and screwed up LSU program, I'm going to be hot about that too, because I love LSU and I love to cheer for their program. I'm a longstanding LSU fan. I've enjoyed them for many, many years. And if this fool has gone down and screwed them up, I'm going to sick all of my Louisiana family right on him.
Ooh.
All of them Cajuns.
That's frightening.
It is frightening because you know they could do some stuff.
They can do some stuff.
So that's that. And I hate that, again, I'm excited about football. I've got uniforms to talk about. But let me tell you what, too. Why is this happening 5 minutes before the season's going to start?
Right.
5 minutes before the season's starting, and you're screwing around with your team. You're screwing around with their brains. They've been at practice camp. They've been working together. They've been forming relationships and all these things and leadership. And now you're going to let these boys come down that didn't make it on the roster of the NFL and be the superstars on your team. Okay. Okay. I got beef with that. So that's that. I just had to get it off my chest. I appreciate you all listening. Thank you.
Speaking of beef, I'm about to give my recipe.
Good. I hope it's a big old beef.
It is beef tips and gravy.
Oh, that sounds perfect for this situation.
You're coming into fall and all the comfort foods. So beef tips and gravy. Here we go.
Let's do it.
All right. You need 2 pounds of sirloin tips, 3 tablespoons of flour, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, half a teaspoon of black pepper, and then half a teaspoon of each of these: salt, garlic powder, onion powder, chili powder, and paprika.
Yum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You are going to mix all of those seasonings in with your flour, and then you're going to dredge all your beef tips in that, and then just brown it in olive oil. You just want to brown it. You're not cooking it. You're browning it.
Mm-hmm. Just get it so it's not pink all the way around.
That's right. That's right. Now this is what I'm making tonight, and I have put mine in the crock pot.
Nice.
With some beef broth, and I'm letting it sit there and just cook on low. So, but for your gravy, here's what you need. You need 1/4 cup of red wine, 2 tablespoons of butter, a small yellow onion. Recipe says diced, but I like mine in strips.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For your onion. And I used a Vidalia onion. I didn't use yellow.
Yeah, I think that's good.
3 cloves of minced garlic, 2 cups of beef broth, a beef bouillon cube. I left that out just so you know.
Okay.
And then about a tablespoon of, you can use any kind of like Worcestershire sauce or Moore's marinade, Dale's marinade, some sort of beef marinade kind of thing.
Okay.
And then I took fresh rosemary and put down. And then a teaspoon of onion powder and a 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder. Now I put once my meat was browned, I put that in the crock pot. I sauteed my onion a little bit and then deglazed my pan with about 1/2 cup of the beef broth. Mm-hmm. Put that in with the beef, and then poured the 1.5 more cups of the beef broth over that.
Okay.
And then you go in and add your quote gravy stuff, which is the red wine and all that last list of stuff that I wrote you.
Okay. Okay. This sounds so easy, you guys.
It is. It is. And then just to let that cook on slow for about 6 hours on low. If you need it to go faster, you can turn it up to high. And then as probably about an hour before it's done, you're going to make a cornstarch slurry. So you need 3 tablespoons of cornstarch and 1/4 cup of cold water. Just mix that up together. And once that cornstarch is good and dissolved, pour that into your broth mixture there and just let that, that'll start to thicken it up.
Yeah, so just into the crock pot. You just dump that in there and stir it up. Yep.
Yep.
For like the last half an hour, what do you think?
Less hour. I would say less hour. Yeah. And then with your rye, you're just cooking your white rice.
You guys. Yeah. So good. White rice and or those big wide egg noodles. Either one of those would be, that'd be a winner.
Yep.
Love it. That sounds amazing. Okay. Are you ready for your top three?
Top three.
And I talked about it last week, is my overnight oats protein coffee. It is, I mean, if you're going to, and it's an iced coffee. So now, that's what I've got right now. It's perfect to have it in the afternoons when it's hot, but I still want, you know, a little coffee.
A little protein, a little treat.
They have all kinds of flavors. So right now I'm drinking the toasted coconut and I put a little bit of coconut milk in with it and some ice and it's ready to go.
That's awesome.
They have all kinds of different flavors if, you know, whatever you like.
Okay.
And then I am watching a program. This is not kid friendly.
Okay.
By any means. It is pretty graphic. But it's called Reacher and it's on Amazon Prime.
I feel like I've seen some of those. Jack Reacher, is that his name?
Yes.
He's like a, he's like
there's a movie. There is a movie.
Okay.
I think that may be.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
But so what's it about?
Called Reacher. Well, he pretty much, he was in the army and, he always does the right thing. Kind of.
But, except and, break the rules when they need to be broken.
He's a vigilante.
Yes. With a good heart.
Yes. He's, you know, wrongdoers and he goes after them and he makes them pay in not very nice ways.
So Joni is into this right now and I can understand it. It's a good outlet.
I am very justice minded.
She's living vicariously.
Yes, I am. Reacher is very justice minded. How's
okay.
that?
That's good. I like it. Okay, good. That sounds like a good, I've seen a couple and that sounds like a really good one for husband and wife. Like your husbands might like that too.
Well, and he's pretty easy on the eyes.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, I didn't say it.
Throwing that out there.
Okay.
If I were going to make another Incredible Hulk movie, I would cast him as the Hulk.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Reacher, it's on Amazon Prime. But yeah, I mean, Ron and I are watching it together. Fine. Now, that said, the first two seasons are great. After that, you go, this is the same storyline over and over and over.
Okay. But so was the A-Team and we didn't complain.
It was
the same every week.
Let's see. So Reacher. And then my last one, I'm going with You Can't Make Old Friends. Oh. Let's just throw the Dolly.
You have to.
Dolly, go.
Yeah, Dolly forever.
Dolly forever.
Exactly, you guys. Well, those were excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for listening to football rants and Dolly memories and all that good stuff. So hope everyone has a really great week. It's going to be hotter than lots of things. Hotter than Tim in the TSA line this week. Hotter than the hot spot.
Hotter than Tim's hot spot.
So look out. On that note, we will talk to you guys next week. Until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Oh my gosh. Oh. You did really well.
I got so much to say.
I know. I know. You did so well, though. You just...
A crotch rocket.
Oh, God.
I could have said that one.
That may go in the blooper at the end. All right. I'm going to let you go cook your noodle beef.
Yeah,
talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.